Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network and KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here, coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio, Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, Bleed Blue and White, Drink Blue and Light. We're talking some Penn State football, recapping news from the past few days. We are going to get into a new segment this week. I don't know if it's going to last or not, but we had one listener ask, and our guy Jim, he complies. So if you ever have anything you want to ask for on this show, if you want to have Greg wear a hat and tap dance, Jim will probably make it happen for you. I don't know why you would want that, but
if you do, just ask.
So the segment is, I can't remember the listener's name, but ask for some real audio from James Franklin in this case that we will then use as a launching point for discussion. So we'll just call it a James Franklin quote breakdown. We got a few quotes that we will play and we'll spin off of it. Mike Pormer from statecollege.com is going to join us. In the last couple of weeks, he's written some really good stuff when it comes to spring football. KJ Hamler looking at the blue-white game. So we'll talk to him about all that. And then we will finish up the show with Ask Greg your Penn State football questions. For now, let's get into the news of the week. And I think you lead, Greg, with Weston Carr. Former Division II All-American, highly productive wide receiver who's going to graduate transfer to Penn State. The second such grad transfer at the wide receiver position. George Campbell was the other one. So Weston Carr had some limitations because of injury last season, was an All-American at Azusa Pacific in California. He was an All-American in 2017. So he's 6'2", 200 pounds. His brother Austin played at Northwestern, was productive there. What do you think the odds are that Weston Carr can be an immediate help? How does he change the dynamic, I guess, of the depth chart? Him and George Campbell as well.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it just gives Penn State some veteran presence in that room. Not that, you know, I do get a little bit leery about the whole idea of needing a veteran presence, or what does a veteran presence mean when the guy's new to the program? It's one thing when, you know, just to use an example from last year, it's one thing when you have a Trace McSorley who's the veteran of your offense, the leader of your offense. It's another thing, I think, when it's a guy that has, you know, not been through your program, doesn't necessarily – I'm sure he knows some guys on this roster. That just seems to be the way college football works. There's always a 6 degree east of Kevin Bacon connection some way, somehow, with all these rosters. But it's an interesting addition for sure. I mean, Division II All-American, he hurt himself last year, but I think the interesting thing was – and I wish I could remember which outlet I read this from, but somebody had noted that even though he was hurt last year, they prioritized him in the red zone. I think that should excite Penn State fans, because even if his impact is limited or his role is limited, anytime you can add a guy who caught 12 passes, I don't care what level it's at, 12 touchdown passes last year, and he was limited. He played in seven games, or I'm sorry, he started seven games, played in 11. I think he had a hamstring injury that slowed him down, so obviously, we'll see what his I'm assuming he's back to full health now and will be available as soon as summer camp starts. But it's an interesting addition at a time when Penn State is definitely hoping to bulk up its depth chart a little bit, especially at the wide receiver spot.
It's fair to wonder, as you mentioned there, yes, this is an experienced guy. It's an experienced guy at the Division II level. I do think that Penn State could use, even if it's not experienced within the program, even if it's not experienced in Power 5 football, the maturity that both of these guys can bring, you know, their years of experience just as human beings as much as anything, to bring a little bit more mature voices into the meeting rooms and that kind of thing with Jared Parker. And boy, I really feel like you got two opportunities here, two interesting and intriguing players. Like, if you go 1 for 2 and one of these guys makes a really sound contribution, 30, 35 catches kind of thing, yeah. maybe both. I think the odds are kind of against that. I think that's what you're looking for with these grad transfers. And, you know, one of my first thoughts when I saw that Weston Carr planned to transfer to Penn State was James Franklin has obviously done an exceptional job recruiting 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds. I think we're starting to see maybe a little bit here that he can recruit 22-year-olds too.
Yeah.
And if he's going to play the game, you know, now you're really recruiting in multiple ways now. You're recruiting high school players, multiple classes at a time, and all the stuff that goes into that. You're also recruiting your own players, and in some cases, Lamont Wade being a good example of that, trying to keep your players around, the ones that you think legitimately have their best football ahead, their best opportunity ahead, trying to keep them around. And you're also recruiting to fill the holes on a one-year basis on your roster. Now, I know James Franklin said he doesn't really like – he's not a big fan of that, the free agency effect, so to speak. But
right.
It doesn't matter if he is or isn't a fan. This is where things are right now. And wherever the rules say – the margins are, James Franklin is going to do a good job of maximizing Penn State's position within the confines of the rule book.
Yeah.
So this is where they are now. And this is, I think, another hint that Franklin's going to manage this transfer thing maybe better than he was given credit for when all these guys, their intentions to leave became known. So I think we're starting to see things stabilize a wee bit.
Yeah.
And now you've got two really interesting additions to the wide receiver room.
You really do. And one thing I want to note is this came out over the weekend. So Sporting News, ESPN, a couple other places reported that the NCAA will soon meet to discuss potentially making these grad transfers two-year scholarships where they count against the program's list for 2 years unless that player finishes his graduate degree during that one season that he's eligible to play. So that's an interesting wrinkle. I can't see how they vote that through. So the problem is, and this is where I think it gets tricky for a guy like James Franklin, who's been very publicly against kind of the idea of how grad transfers are now compared to how they used to be. I mean, you just got to go back and look at his. We should get that audio queued up. I mean, go back. We won't even have to talk. I think it was like a 6-minute answer he gave about the transfer portal and what it means and what it teaches kids and all that. But he also made pretty clear that the way graduate transfers are accepted has changed. And what he's getting at is it used to be you grad transferred if the school you were at didn't have the thing that you wanted to go to grad school for to get a master's in. If your school didn't have that and some other school did, you could go play there. And now I think what's happening is that's still the rule, but kids are finding all kinds of ways. You know, they could be a communications degree going to get a major in rock study, you know, and it's just it's obviously I'm all for these guys having as much power as they can get because the coaches sure as heck have a heck of a lot of it and they make a heck of a lot more money. So I can understand, you know, why it is the way it is, but I will think that's something – I do say they do think that's something to watch for. And then on the receiver front, yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, again, these guys aren't coming to Penn State because they were world beaters either out of high school. In the case of Akari, obviously needed some time to get to the point of being ready to play FBS football. And then with George Campbell, he looked like a guy that was going to take over college football. And it didn't really work out that way. He was a 5-star recruit that kind of sizzled and simmered and didn't do a whole lot more at Florida State. Injury is the biggest reason why. So intriguing gets, but I think you have to take a wait and see approach with any grad transfer at any point in time, just like Oregon will with Juwan Johnson and so on.
Would you agree with that Penn State fans should probably be more excited about Weston Carr than George Campbell at this point, just because he's done it?
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's a level jump, right? It's probably depending on how you look at it, Division II to FCS to FBS, it's a 2-level jump,
right?
But other guys have done it,
right?
Other guys have jumped from Division II obviously to the pros and have succeeded in that way. So
right.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, I think it ultimately. It's worth to take a chance on these guys. You know, I'm sure we'll get to it later, but Isaac Lutz and Hunter Kelly picked up scholarships from Penn State over the weekend, which is it's not to say they didn't earn them or deserve them because they're two guys that have been with the program for a long time and done a lot on the scout team. But let's be honest, you're not giving out two scholarships to walk-ons and adding two graduate transfers unless you have some room to play with your scholarship table, and Penn State does right now.
Yeah, I think it looked at one point like they'd be filming like 15 of those
right.
scholarships to
right.
walk-on videos. You get a scholarship. You get a scholarship.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This feels like I wish I wouldn't have started what I was going to say, but there's not a program in the country that does a worse job of capitalizing on those videos than Penn State does. I mean, they release them back-to-back on a Saturday of the Final Four.
Yeah.
I mean
– yeah.
could I just I don't know. Not it's here nor there. I just feel like that they, you know, the first and foremost biggest part of those things is to get obviously the reaction of the kid, and it's a wonderful moment for the kid and his family, and that's great. But let's be honest, number two is about social media promotion, yeah, and branding the program and all that, and they find a darn good way to kind of bury the lead, if you will, every time they do one of these.
They search it out. They find it. We're talking Penn State football, some news from the weekend. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We are just days away now from the blue-white game up in Happy Valley. If you weren't able to get the RV, the free RV to the game, they still have an awesome deal for Keystone Sports Network listeners. Starting at just $350 for a group of four, you can arrive this Friday. You can stay through Sunday. You get a free 409 Tailgate Club meal included in the price. Free shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. The ultimate tailgate experience in an RV, a unique setting. You can contact Mark today for more details. I would say Saturday night, the timing is interesting because they're running the game on tape delay on Big Ten Network, so we'll be able to go to the game. And then I know I personally will be at the GoPSURV.com lot to watch the game later then, too. If you are interested in watching the game with me, that's probably worth your $350 right off the bat.
Without question.
Right off the bat, that's worth it. And you get to stay in an RV, too. That's just like icing on the cake.
Yeah.
Call Mark, 1-800-519-8467. Go to GoPSURV.com. Once again, 1-800-519-8467. A couple other things to touch on. You mentioned the scholarship giveaway, so to speak. We didn't really get a chance to get into Golden Achumba, the three-star, but you look at his offer sheet, that's what I look at. You know, LSU, Florida, Oklahoma. He's a talented player at 6'4", 320. Looks pretty raw to me on film. Like, I didn't see – I'm not an offensive lineman. I've never been one. I'm eating to grow into one, but I'm not there yet. I didn't see a lot of hand usage. It just was just kind of brute force. But there's definitely potential there.
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, he's a guy that – I think is definitely gonna, they might, you know, he's like 320 pounds right now. He looks kind of skinny. I mean, but he's a big kid and in a good way, but I think they'll probably have to break him down a little bit when he gets to campus and then build his weight back up. But other than that, I mean, the raw potential looks absolutely fascinating. And at the end of the day, if there's anything inexact about recruiting rankings and recruiting period, it's offensive line recruiting. And that's followed very closely by defensive line recruiting. So you take what you can get. I think you ignore the star ratings. You ignore the ratings at this point. Yes, is a 5-star more likely to pan out to a 4-star, 4-star, to 3-star? Yes, no question. But I think you just play it out, and this looks like a good get from a very good high school program, keep in mind.
Yeah, and I would throw Grant Dutant, the Michigan offensive lineman, who got a 4-star from 24/7 Sports this weekend. I think right now the star ratings are their least accurate they will be all year. So you're going to see movement. Grant Dutant was a step in that direction for Penn State. Don't worry about the 3-stars. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with some James Franklin quotes and our analysis of them, whether they're BS or not. That's the point. We'll be right back.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.